So I discovered this image not long ago. It was created by a person named Leonard Cheng, I think is his last name. It was in an article in the journal Nautilus. It was titled This Is Your Brain on Silence. And I love the way the image shows the way our minds and our hearts can come into attunement during meditative silence. I also love the way the person seems to be floating. It reminds me of something called float therapy that we actually amazingly have here in Midland. I just experienced it for the first time. But it's a sensory deprivation experience that is amazing. It allows a really wonderful meditative experience and also a lot of physical healing. So the image reminds me of those things. I think it's a great visual of what we're talking about. Daniel Gross wrote the article about your brain on silence, and he talks about neurological research, and also he talks about the Finns, who are incredibly ingenious. He starts out the article talking about a gathering in 2010 of people in the marketing for the nation of Finland thinking, how do we get people to come here? What do we have to offer? Well, we could say that there's nothing here but beauty. It's really quiet and people don't talk a lot. And that's actually where they landed, amazingly, was with silence. They said, we have silence and it's a priceless commodity. And so that was their whole marketing campaign, and it worked. So there's a picture that they showed, I am so ready to go and be in Finland. Yeah, doesn't it look great? The neurological research that he talks about, there are a couple of different studies that really caught my attention. One is about mice and one is about music. In both studies, the profound effect of silence was the surprise in the study. It was kind of an accident. In the study on music and its physiological effects, there were these pauses in between the songs that were recorded, and they were looking at the differences that happened in measured through the bloodstream. So looking at carbon dioxide, looking at the amount of blood circulating in your brain, looking at your blood pressure, what effect music had on those things. But what they discovered was that in the pauses between the tracks that they were playing, there was this profound physiological effect, much higher than listening to relaxing music or any of the other variables that they were looking at. It was the silence in between the tracks that showed this amazing effect on all of those measures of silence impacting our physiology. The study on mice was really interesting too, if you can kind of get past that it was a study on mice. But they looked at neural input and how it affected the neurology. And again, the surprise was there were these 2 hours of silence kind of accidentally during the day when they just kept gathering data, even though it wasn't what they were studying. And what they discovered was in those 2 hours of silence, the mice were creating new cells in their hippocampus, the memory of the brain that works with memory and our senses. And not only were they creating new cells, but the cells were integrating and becoming neurons that were integrated into the system. So again, it was the silence, the accidental silence in the study that brought about these amazing results of higher brain functioning in these areas of memory and our access and awareness of the world. There are lots of studies about meditation and the impact on our brains. I know a lot of those now, but I discovered those things a long time ago when, as a follower of Jesus, I entered into a journey looking at contemplative prayer and practices and how they could impact my own life. So I was the director of a social services agency I was the social services director of a bigger nonprofit agency that was tiny and exponentially growing. It worked, and my work was dominantly with people who were affected by homelessness and addiction, by poverty, by violence. It was difficult work. It was incredibly life-giving. There was so much beauty, and I learned so much from the people that I worked with. There was also a lot of interpersonal struggle in our staff and a lot of despair. At the same time we adopted our first child, we didn't know at the time, but she has a fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, so she was impacted by alcohol in utero and has brain damage because of that. We didn't know that at the time, but FASD has a way of bringing a lot of chaos and confusion along with it when it comes in your life, and that was definitely true for us. There was a lot of chaos, a lot of violence, lots of yelling, lots of confusion, and it became really clear to me that I wasn't going to be able to continue my work or parenting without some kind of balance between contemplation and action in my life. So I started looking for it, started a search. The first thing that we did was sell our house and live in Canada for a couple years off of the money that we made on our house. This is a picture of the San Juan Islands, one of my favorite places in the world. And while we were there, I discovered a lot of peace, a lot of healing. I started to take silent retreats with some of my friends there. We would go really anywhere we could. My favorite place was on Bowen Island, a place aptly named Rivendell. And we would go together in silence. We would share our meals, but other than that, we would have solitude. So I would hike in the forest. I would walk the labyrinth. I would sleep. I would pray. I would read. I would drink a lot of good coffee. It was, of course, kind of the Pacific Northwest-ish, actually the Canadian West. It was an amazing time and a really healing time for me as well. When we left Canada and moved back to the U.S., we moved to Dallas, and I started looking for a spiritual director to help me in this process. I had begun to think about kind of a rule of life for myself as well. That's what Saint Benedict calls it. Looking at the balance between work and rest, relationships and solitude, silence and celebration, really everything in life, wondering how do you live that, especially in America? How do you live the balance of those things? And as I was looking for a spiritual director on that journey, I ended up in a program at a place called Heart Path Center for Spirituality. And in that, I was trained in contemplative practices and in becoming a spiritual director. That's how I sort of accidentally became a spiritual director. And I was introduced to the work of Father Thomas Keating in that program. And he brought a method of prayer and meditation called centering prayer back to us. It's an ancient practice, but in the practice of centering prayer, there's a real letting go. It's about silence, about letting go of your thoughts. I brought some excerpts from my journal at the time that I want to read to you about that. So this is as I'm beginning the practice of centering prayer. November 6th. I'm grateful for this morning, for stillness and quiet under the blue fall sky, breathing in and out, feeling the tingling aliveness of the cool in-breath and the warm exhale going back out into the world in compassion. November 8th. Today seems like the first time I've even tried to meditate, to contemplate. I wonder what it is, this opening and emptying. Is it emptying? So many thoughts flow through my mind. I experienced frustration with it today. So many things creeping in. I don't even know they're there until I'm halfway through them. What am I trying to do? to be in God? November 10th, what am I doing? Sitting still and straight, just being? How is that not a waste of time? What is happening in me, to me? I'm not at all sure. Why am I doing this? December 3rd, release. Release my eyes, my jaw, my forehead. Release rejection, jealousy. Release planning. Release holding it all together. Release into love. Release into flow. Release into love. I feel like you're trying to crack open my chest and make room for more of you. Make room for me. Not violently, but gently. Watching me forget, remember, follow a flitting thing across the field and twirl back again like the young girl I once was in the field. Meditation seems to scoop out a place, seeing beauty, sensing beauty, to fall and root in me. Yes, I can breathe when I release. And December 16th, centering prayer has drawn me into a new, open, spacious place within the mystery we call God. In just the last couple times I've practiced it, I felt an opening up and releasing into the mystery of the divine presence. Being in a place without words and images is amazingly restful, and I carry a lightness, an openness with me throughout the day. It was a really mysterious process and obviously not all pleasant. There were times that I really wondered what I was doing. But I found that I could sink into it and continue the practice, and found that it transformed me.